The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. Support your healthy CoQ10 levels and blood pressure with 2 chews a day. Visit RadioBeats.com and save 15% with promo code DEAL.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, we're back again! Woo! Well, at least I'm back again. Okay, I'm going to say we're back again, although one of us is back again and the other one's brand new. I did mention last show, we're going to do something a little new, a little something exciting, a little something different. Things are happening around here. You're about to... I bet... Let's see if people can guess your voices. Okay, no, they wouldn't know your voice. I'll set this up. I got kind of an interesting message on Facebook by people I used to go to church with. They said, hey, can our daughter come and intern with you? And I was like, intern? I'm not really a business, am I? Well, this is kind of this cool thing. I've only looked a little bit about this, but I have an intern, and we'll explain it here in a little bit. So everybody say hello to Emma. Well, Emma's going to say hello to you.
Hi.
And she's going to be a little microphone shy at first. So is this your first time ever, being behind a mic at all?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, so we're breaking you in. Trial by fire, which is what I just wanted to throw her into the deep end of the pool. So
it's like those babies teaching them to swim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I never learned to swim.
Oh.
Yeah. I blame Jaws because I saw Jaws when I was way too young, and I think I was scared of the water.
Oh.
So
although, I'm scared of the ocean, so...
I've been in the ocean. I just didn't get too far. It was kind of fun riding the waves. I did learn... Okay, side story. I learned a trick. Because when you get in the ocean, if you accidentally get your mouth water and you have a bad habit of getting water, really salty. Mm-hmm. I learned if I go and I eat a bunch of Fritos, because the Fritos are super salty, the water won't bother you at all.
Oh, that's really smart.
Yeah. I thought I was clever. Because there was a lot of salt in that water. But yeah, I didn't get out where I was going to be under other than the waves, so I just kind of learned to jump the waves, and it just kind of was fun. But then when my legs got tired, I'm like, okay, I got to make it back to shore. So, but yeah, I still only doggy paddle.
No. Me too.
The opposite thing, though, for Philip, he's told me that watching Jaws when he was little made him learn to swim because he wanted to make sure he could outswim the sharks.
Oh, yeah.
But me, I don't know, it never worked. And so the nice thing is Heather's a lifeguard, so, well, was.
Oh, really?
She was a lifeguard up at Camp New Hope. Was that your first job? Is she still in the living room?
No.
Okay. Well, but she was a lifeguard. So if I ever get in trouble, she can come save me. And I won't mind getting mouth to mouth from her. If I was going to complain about mouth to mouth, I'm like more than 20 years long past being able to complain.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so we have Emma here and she's going to be coming in and she's going to get to co-host for a while. And then hopefully by the end of the semester, she'll spread her wings and fly. And we'll tell you about whatever her show ends up being.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah. So tell me about this program. I saw that you're getting college credit.
Yeah. It covers all of my other credits that I need to do. So I only do my 4 main courses.
Well, that's nice. So it gives you a little bit more. It's almost like a VOTEC thing then, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you do a few classes and then you go out into the world.
Yeah. It's way less stressful too because I only have the 4 classes.
Yeah. Less homework.
Oh, yeah.
Which gives you more time for me to give you homework.
Oh. Yeah.
Which, don't worry, I have fun homework. It's going to be some technical stuff. You're going to learn some things. Already, I've tossed Audacity at her. I didn't know. She told me you could get Audacity on your phone now. Daniel Lewis has a podcast all about using Audacity to podcast and all the different tricks and stuff. And I'm sure he's gone further, but I bet he knows. He probably does.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Daniel J. Lewis, what an awful, wrong word. What an awesome time. Awesome and awful. It starts the same way. Okay. To mention, if you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, right there in the middle of the screen, you'll find my podcast reviews. That is Daniel J. Lewis's business, where he will collect. Did you know that your reviews are only going to come from the country that you are living in? Apple will not let you see them all. But if you want to see what everybody around the world is saying about your podcast, my podcast reviews for, well, his fees are about to change. He's about to unlock the next version, the 2.0. Very exciting. He's very excited about what's coming up. I don't know what all it is, but I'll let y'all know. But you click on that link there. If you happen to have a podcast, you get reviews from around the world. He'll email them to you so you can know what people are saying. They even make a nice link where someone can put in the reviews for you. Is really nice. But links right there in the middle of NeverlandPodcast.com on the front page. Set yourself up. I think I'm only paying like 50 for a year.
That's
not bad. That's not bad for being able to see my reviews, which, by the way, I could use some more reviews. I know I've completely changed the audiences now. So all you new people, I want to see some reviews. What do you think about the show? You know, and by the way, send those emails, which we'll get into that later on. But hey, see, you pick your good times. You plug in the good time.
Yeah.
So she's learning. She's learning. So
slowly.
So
slowly but surely.
Now we get to learn some stuff about you.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. With doing our typical host chatter, which I was able to prepare her just a little bit. We were talking with her and her parents, and I said, I always start the show by asking the questions, what have you been watching?
Well, I've been rewatching Flash on Netflix. So I decided to rewatch it because I was like, I want to rewatch it. So I just rewatched it.
Did you see the movie?
No. I am not.
Okay. Yeah, Ezra Miller kind of ruined it for some people, but it was actually pretty good. Yeah. Although, somebody had a pretty reasonable thing where they said, because they at one point you get to see a lot of different Flashes, a lot of different Supermans and stuff, that all these different ones, and somebody said, how come Grant Gustin didn't get to have a cameo then? But would have been nice.
I love Grant Gustin.
Yeah. He was really good as a Flash. I'd rather have a Grant Gustin than Ezra Miller, honestly. Mm-hmm. So, although Ezra Miller, I'll credit him as being a good actor, but there's something wrong with that guy. He needs some serious help.
For real,
definitely. But it was an enjoyable movie. What have I been watching this week? Actually, I'm kind of getting retro. I saw on a YouTube channel, because I like Kevin James. He's funny. He keeps his comedy clean. And what guy doesn't like Lana Rimini anyway? Because she's just cool and she's cute. Not as cute as Heather is, because she's in the other room. So, because if it sounds different, we're in the kitchen like we used to do with Philip sometimes. But she's fun anyway, and she's pretty funny. But I saw on YouTube they had a King of Queens official page where they showed some clips, and I watched some clips. I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of watched a couple episodes back in the day. And so I was like, this is really funny stuff. I don't think I ever really watched much of that show. I bet I can find it on a streaming service. And yes, Peacock has King of Queens. So Heather had to get drug along with me. But we've watched 6 episodes, and I've been enjoying it. It's just a good, funny show. And I like Kevin James. I like clean comedy. If you can make a joke without having to cuss. I mean, I still enjoy. Wow, my brain just went out the window again. Puppet Guy. Wow. It just went right out. Jeff Dunham. Thank you. See, this is why I love you, because you're in the other room and still helping when my brain farts. She thinks her brain's going, but mine's gone. But yeah, Jeff Dunham. I still enjoy him. I just wish he was a little bit cleaner, but he's still funny. But yeah, Kevin James, his comedy's clean. His show, there's a few characters that are a little spicy, but it's a good, fun show. If you've never watched King of Queens, I definitely recommend it, especially if you like Jerry Stiller, because he plays the father-in-law, and he's fun. Ben Stiller's father, anyone who doesn't know, Ben Stiller got his funny from somebody. He got it from his dad. Jerry is he's just a hoot.
Yeah.
He's it does stuff as an old guy. You don't expect him in the show. So I've been enjoying that. Other than, of course, we haven't watched Fairy Tale all week, because we've been trying to watch Fairy Tale, but I'm reading the manga. Oh, which, I forgot when we were doing our intro music to say what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, yeah.
Manga gets made into anime, and then sometimes that manga gets made into live action. And so we've got a couple of reviews, and later on the show, I haven't recorded this yet, but I have someone coming on to talk about some other anime that kind of got it even adapted, Americanized into anime. And we're going to talk about stuff that kind of gets Americanized as some anime, and some old ones and some more modern ones, because some of these newer ones, younger fans are I think some of the younger fans are more into anime, I think, than some people my age are.
Yeah,
I think. I mean, you're I think you have more access to it. When I was a kid, you found the person who was really big into anime, and they bootlegged all their stuff from who knows where and had to buy off stuff. Yeah. There's a guy I used to work with that he was bootlegging stuff, and he was like, oh, you got to watch this movie. And they were all just like on VHSs that he got from who knows where. But he had me watch a lot of different kind of things and trying to find something that I really enjoyed. And it took me a while until like Full Metal Alchemist that I really found something that I really liked. But of course, when I was a kid, there was stuff that I watched that I didn't, you know, no one has said the word anime, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't understand it. But see, now you got access to stuff. So we'll be jumping into that later on. But yeah, we haven't gotten to watch any Fairy Tale this week. And now we started watching One Piece because we'll be talking about that later, the live action. I won't tell you if I'm enjoying it yet or not until we get to that point. Haha. You'll have to listen to more of the show. Anyways, I babble. All right. So now, then, of course, the second question we always like to ask, what have you been playing?
Oh, I just got some new games like last weekend. So I got Hogwarts Legacy. There's a lot of controversial stuff with that, apparently. And I got GTA 5 for the PlayStation because I didn't have it. So
didn't have it, so might as well get it.
Yeah.
There you go. So, yeah, see, I finished, I think I've been talking about, I've been playing Just Cause 3, which I actually recommended and I'm going to plug somebody else's show, James Kennison of That Story Show had mentioned on one of his stuff that his son wants to play GTA 5 because he's got friends playing it.
Yeah.
And I recommended, and James Kennison said he was a big fan of this game series too, but Just Cause 3 has a lot of the same game mechanics as Grand Theft Auto, except when you're taking a car or stealing a tank. That's fun. You're taking it from an evil dictator and his army who's like dominating this fictional country. So I feel better about, you know, stealing the bad guy's stuff compared to stealing civilians. Although I did have, and I've been getting some comments on the YouTube channel. By the way, official Neverland Gaming channel, I should say. I almost said .com on YouTube. For you can find me playing some stuff, which we got some stuff coming up, some scary games. So I'm going to play some scary stuff, some stuff I've never played before. It's coming up. But I've gotten some comments on one video where, and I mentioned this last week, I call them the morons of Medici. And I got fed up, finally, for the last time I got hit by a car. After I just liberated this town and drove the bad guys away, a guy hit me with his car. I turned around, fired my gun, popped his tire. And you have this really cool grappling hook.
Yeah.
And I hooked over onto his car, stole his car, and drove it into a wall and blew it up. I said, there, now you're not going to hit anybody else with your car, because you don't have one. And it was like the super ritzy nice car, so I know he was like the drivers you see out there in their BMWs that think they own the road. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm probably, everybody driving a BMW is going, hey! But I'm like, hey, you know that you feel like you own the road in that BMW, all right? You know it.
Okay. Yeah.
So don't at me. Oh, you know, go ahead and at me. Send me something on Twitter, send me an email. I love hearing from you anyway. So there. But yeah, so I finished that, and I was hearing a lot of nice things. This is for free? Now, I don't know if it's for free, because on my PlayStation, I pay for the full account, which I've been hearing. I haven't looked it up. I should have probably done that. I'm hearing the rates are about to go up on me.
Yeah.
But they were talking about this game, Sea of Stars, and it's a beautiful-looking game. It looks very much like an old school, they'll call them like a JRPG, for like a Japanese style role playing game, where it's like a turn-based, which I'm not really big on turn-based combat, but you look at this game and it was free for me. So I went ahead and downloaded it. I played it a little bit. Wow. It's really cool. It's really, really kind of neat, really gorgeous to look at. And already you got my attention, but playing it, I was like, wait a minute. If I'm going to play something new, I completely forgot that over on my Switch sitting next to me, I had Legends of Zelda Skyward Sword that when they remade that for the Switch. So wait a minute, I never finished that. I got distracted. So I went back and started playing that again. But I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. Sea of Stars, especially if you love JRPGs or if you love old retro or vintage, so like Super Nintendo looking, but only gorgeous looking. It's a beautiful looking game. And I think y'all would enjoy it. I mean, it's got some lore already, but I haven't gotten too far to know what all's going on with it's kind of weird how they kind of explain the magic, but like the magic's not supposed to be there, but yet it's a magic that's not magic. I don't know. I don't understand. I was a little confused by the intro, but look, you know, teenagers running around that go through a magic school. Oh, look, I've been watching and reading fairy tales. So I'm like, yay, it's a fairy tale, the game. Okay. Sort of. In a little bit of way. It was kind of neat because they had specialties. Like you get to choose between these two characters. One, I think he's throwing fire. And the other one, I think she's going to throw ice or something. I don't know. I haven't gotten to do where they're both in a fight because you got split up at the beginning of the game. And that's about as far as I've gotten. Mm-hmm. I think I've just gotten back together and we're about to have some story. But I'm kind of wondering because they're supposed to have known each other for a long time. And I'm like, are you two a little smitten with each other? You know, my brain works that way. I always look for stuff like that. I've even done that with Fairy Tail. Heather doesn't agree with me on like Gray and Urza seem to have been. I'm just like, there's just this little bit of thing, just a little bit.
and some of what they say.
I can see that, yeah.
So I'm like, I kind of wonder. I mean, but don't spoil. You've already been through the whole series, so.
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah,
so. I still have some movies I got to watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's movies, too. I'm hoping I can get to some movies as well. But I kind of wonder if something's going to happen. Although, I guess Urza really has a Juvia there kind of running around. So.
Oh, I love Juvia.
Yeah. She's fun, but boy, she's crazy.
Oh, she's crazy. Yeah,
she's crazy. But that's that sweet side. And it's the same thing it's like I like about Urza. Urza, she's scary, but she's got this code of honor that when you first meet her that she's like, nope, this is wrong. We're going to go change it. I don't care what it costs.
Mm-hmm. She inspires me.
Yeah, she's kind of inspiring. So I like that. It's like all the characters in Fairy Tale are just so lovable. Even Lucy, who's kind of almost useless. But you love her spirit. You know, she's fun in that way. Yeah. It's like where she's almost useless, but like she doesn't quit. And you get kind of mad at the one point when Gajeel is like beating the pants off of her there in that one bit.
So
I just like you kind of get mad. It's like, hey, that's poor Lucy, and because she's already like defeated and he's just abusing. You're like, Natsu's gonna make you pay for that.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
So hopefully y'all have ever watched some Fairy Tale. If you haven't watched, you need to like pay attention because it's a fun show. And I don't pick a lot of anime that I really get into because some stuff like I can make Heather mad real quick. She's in the other room, but. Those of you who are fans of Inuyasha, Inuyasha was a slave.
Ooh.
Have you watched Inuyasha?
I think I've seen like one episode.
Okay, and that's about as far as I've gotten. I tried to read a little bit of the manga. But anytime he displeases Kagome, sit! Bam! He smashes her to the ground.
Oh.
So if she's displeased with him or does something that she doesn't want him to do, she can punish him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a slave. But Heather will never admit to that.
No, because you don't get the
there's enough context. I'm like, okay, that's I don't like that she forces him into servitude, basically.
Yeah.
So anyways, but yeah, so that's what I've been playing is I played a little bit of that and I didn't really get to do some stuff, but I'm going to be playing some things. I don't know when I want to start because I'm collecting free games that I've been watching some YouTube videos about different, horror games that are free. I'm like, hey, free always makes me want to try it.
Oh, yeah.
And especially anyone that's like short and I can maybe finish it in an hour or two. So I can just make a quick video. There we go. And I even found something that it's on the PlayStation. It cost me like $3, but I already had some credit because I've been with my GameStop account. I get $5 every month. And if I add $5 onto that, I can just buy a $10 PlayStation card if there's nothing I really want to get. So because right now I'm trying to pay off my PS5 on the Nebraska Furniture card. And then eventually, I'll start saving for Final Fantasy Rebirth. I have to get that.
Must. I've heard a lot about those games.
The remake was so beautiful. Oh, my gosh. And I didn't even play the original, but I had never finished the original back in the day. I have played through it now because they re-released it. But I went ahead. I got the remake. I was looking so cool. I was like, oh, plus. So you're going to get some backstory, too. Most of the people already know this. But, like, Aerith is one of my favorite video game characters. Her and Link are my top two. So, and when I was playing the original and I was reading a gaming magazine that Aerith was going to die, stopped playing. I said, no, I can't deal with that. I love that character. And in the remake, she's even better because she's got a voice. She's very well acted. And they were able to give more of their personality. I'm like, oh, she's just awesome. I just love her to death. And if they kill her in the next game, I may be coming to find Heather's like, they killed her. I thought they would maybe find a way around it. And I see a way around it. Because there's a guy who's supposed to be dead that he's alive. And I'm thinking, well, he's going to track and he's going to follow because his old friend Cloud and he's looking for Aerith anyway. I want to see this moment when Sephiroth comes out of the sky to kill her. Suddenly Zack's going to show up and block that blow. And maybe that's even where we can just end the next game. I'd be happy. Like, ooh, then tease it for the next one.
Like, yeah, I do that a lot with like movies and stuff. When I know a character I like is going to die, I'm just like, can't watch it.
That's even how I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a certain television series that did have a movie made off of it because they didn't get to finish the story. And I started watching it. It's kind of a space western. Has some actors I adore on that show. Then I heard on a podcast and they said that, what was going to happen to a lot of the characters in the movie. And I was like, thanks. Now I can't watch it.
Oh, man.
And I'm not going to say what it was just in case somebody has not watched the show. Some people might know, what show I'm talking about. It's an old show. And they didn't get to finish it, but they got to make a movie to kind of resolve stuff. Although I've heard that there's a comic that they started doing to try to continue some of the stories with them. But I think it's supposed to be stuff that happens before the TV show or something. So maybe I'll read that. But yeah, because that had some at least three actors. No, four just phenomenal actors that are always fun to watch.
Yeah.
that I was like, man, this is really good. And one of those actors I've gotten to see at Planet Comic Con, and I actually shared the audio on the show.
I'll
leave it at that. I don't want to spoil. But now people are vague booking and like, what in the world is he talking about? And some people hopefully know what I'm talking about. I don't know. You might have clicked and be like, I think I know what he means.
No.
Well, good, because I didn't want to spoil what, you know, that some stuff happens. Even though I didn't say what that was. Well, okay, but anyways, that's enough host chatter. The reason, though, I'm spilling some time with some host chatter here, I wanted y'all to kind of get familiar with Emma. Mm-hmm. She's got to get reacquainted with me, because, my goodness, last time I saw you, you were still a little girl.
Oh, yeah.
And your brother and sister were babies. I think one of them was, like, fresh out of the oven.
I think that was Lily, yeah.
Yeah, I think Lily, yeah, was because, yeah, your brother was just a little bit older. Mm-hmm. I think your mom was kind of surprised, like, oh, my gosh, we're pregnant again already.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think she was pregnant with Lily about the same time another lady was, they had, like, I can't remember what their names were, but they had just adopted this little girl and then found out that she was pregnant. And it was about the same time I think your mom was pregnant with Lily.
Mm.
It was kind of fun. It's like, oh, they're getting to be pregnant and have babies together. How cute, you know? Plus, the adopted kid was just about the same age. I'm like, man, they got to be busy people. Because they didn't think she was going to be able to have any children. So they started adopting and they adopted this cute little girl. And then, surprise, you're going to have one of your own. So you get to have sisters already. And they're both about the same age. So anyway,
so sweet.
Yeah, it was very, very super sweet. So we're not going to have a trailer park today. And you're going to get to know Emma a little bit further. But first, I do have just a little bit of news. So she gets to hear this sounder for the first time, unless she's listened to the show. I don't know.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Okay, for any of you people who were Disney fans that stuck around with me. Like, you must, if you're still with me, you're a Disney fan, you must be the same mindset I am, that you still love Mickey, but what they're doing is breaks your heart every time they do something. But they released some new information. They've had a D23, Destination D23, and they've been live streaming some stuff. And some stories came out, and I thought it would be just interesting to kind of bring up some things. What caught my attention, because I didn't realize the event was going on. I know they did it every year, but I don't pay as much attention. So now when something happens, it's social media. I don't know if this particular page that I looked at, but they're expanding some areas. This right now I'm looking at WDWNT, also known as WDW News Today. Mm-hmm. They've got the Magic Kingdom expansion is supposed to be the largest ever for the park, and it looks like some changes might be coming to Big Thunder Mountain. They're going to call it Beyond Big Thunder Mountain. It says here, first announced last year at D23 Expo 2022, many new ideas were being considered for Beyond Big Thunder Mountain project, including lands themed to Coco and Encanto and an entire area dedicated to Disney villains. While still possible, it is plausible that Encanto is no longer on the table, with the concept now being proposed for Dino Land USA at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Which Encanto would not make any sense at all in Animal Kingdom. So I'm glad they sounds like they scrapped that. Plus, that movie wasn't very good. There, I said it. I didn't like it. Coco, I loved.
I've watched it like a few times.
Yeah, I've watched it twice. I don't know if I can pull it up too much because Heather, when she finally got a chance to watch it here, she got, I think, too emotionally involved at the end and thought it was going to end badly. And I had to tell her, you know, this is Pixar, right? It's going to have a happy ending. It's coming. Because she was afraid Grandma Coco was going to die right there and everybody was forget and like, oh my goodness. But that's, you know, that's a story. But I was sitting there going, it's going to be okay. Somehow this is going to be okay. So and we might actually do a feature thing. I don't think I'm going to get her to do it. But for those who listened to Mary Howell when she came on for Blue Beetle, because I wanted to get a Latina's perspective on Coco. And I said, well, we should do like a rewatch and we'll talk about it. She's like, no, I don't want to have to cry again. I was like, okay. So we'll see if I talk her into it and have her fun, because she was a lot of fun to have on. But a land themed around Coco might be a good idea, but I would actually be more interested in an area themed to Disney villains.
That would be really interesting.
Heck yeah. I might almost come up with a $6,000 to get myself there. Then I got to figure out how to get Heather there. Okay.
Yeah, especially with all the villain movies they're making now just for the villain itself and like the background.
Even if they're not good. But like the classic villains. I'm still a vintage Disney fan and I love those classic villains. And even some of the newer ones. Ooh. So that would be the thing. Like who would be your favorite Disney villain? And from an animated feature.
I've been wanting a Tangled movie for so long, so Mother Gothel.
Oh, live action. Oh, yeah. She was interesting because she was that manipulative, horrible type where she would say, oh, look at the stunning, beautiful woman. Oh, and look, and there's you two. Stuff like that. It's like, oh, you're awful. Which, yeah. I don't know if you've ever played the Disney Dreamlight Valley.
No.
She's in there, and she's just as mean to me in that one. And I have to help her to do some missions. I did enjoy playing through that. I finished the story, but I'm like, okay, I guess you're meant to be able to just keep playing with it, like a Stardew Valley or even Animal Crossing, which Heather's still addicted to. But I'm like, okay, I'm done with the story. Moving on.
But yeah, Mother Gothel is definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, oh, because she was just one of those... Because she would just say that stuff and be so nice. Whoa. But wow, I don't know if I'd have an absolute favorite villain. Wow. See, I have a hard time picking out one favorite.
It's very hard to pick. Yeah, they're all really good.
There's stuff I enjoy out of each one of them. Like the ones you love to hate is definitely got like Cruella de Vil. You love to hate her because
she loves the live action.
I don't want to see it. After I saw Maleficent and was angry when I walked out of the theater. I'm sorry, you don't take a good villain and try to make him a hero to me. That doesn't work to me. Because even when they made a live-action movie of the Joker, he was scary because you saw him slowly going into madness. But you understand him, but you're also like, oh my gosh, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
I prefer that. I want to see the journey into madness where I'm like, ooh, you're scary. I can see that villain in there. And I like the Maleficent of the animated. She's got like a style and a grace. And when she pounds her staff and it just rings out in the hall. Oh, my goodness. That is probably one of my top Disney villains. She's just so great. So, yeah. But, you know, I'm kind of more of a moderate because still my favorite movie's got to be Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, I love Beauty and the Beast.
And Gaston. You have to love Gaston because he's like that likable, nasty jerk. So, but he's like, we all know that type of guy.
Yeah, so I will say I prefer the live action now. Only because Emma Watson is in it. I love Emma Watson.
I prefer her as an actress and not necessarily everything she stands for, necessarily. There's some stuff she says. I'm like, you know what? Just go act because you're actually pretty good at acting. And I like your characters.
Beautiful actress.
I kind of go with that with a lot of people in Hollywood. I want to enjoy their work because if I get into some of the stuff that I, you know, the rest of their lives, some of them do really. Like Ezra Miller, for example. I think he is a great actor, but him as a person.
I haven't heard a lot about him.
There's too much bad stuff out there. And it's sort of like when I was, you know, doing some dedication for Paul Rubens. I was like, okay, we know there's some bad stuff that happened. But let's focus on how much we've enjoyed Paul Rubens' character, like Pee Wee Herman or even in Mystery Men. And even Bill Cosby. Yeah, he did some bad. But I still at least have memories. Even as a kid, and I still have some albums. He still was very funny. Just, oh boy, there's stuff I really wish he didn't do. I was hoping, it's like, I'm hoping that it turns out that you didn't do anything. But no, you got found guilty. There was enough evidence on you. So, but, you know, I will say, okay, good. You served your time. I appreciate that because that's where our system's supposed to work. We're supposed to, all right, you do your time. Although, he got a light sentence. But still. Anyway, I don't want to bring the show down. But, see, I try to focus on the work and not try to focus on what they do because what they do in Hollywood and some of these people do really just, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather remember Whoopi Goldberg when she's made me laugh throughout the years rather than the hurling harpy that she's on The View. So, yeah. Okay, so don't want to bring the show down, so I'm going to move on. But the thing that got my attention of stuff going on, being an opinionated guy, it helps for doing a show, by the way. So, because you find people that agree with you, but I try not to bring the negativity of the show. So it's teaching moments, people. It's teaching moments. I feel like the more you know. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw this on Facebook, and this is what got my attention. This was going on. Well, they just announced, this was on the Facebook page for Disney Parks, it says the Country Bear Jamboree at Walt Disney World is getting new songs and a new act, reinterpreting favorite Disney songs in different genres of country music. This new experience will still have the fun and friendly tone fans enjoy with the same famous characters like the lovable Trixie, Big Al, and others. Now, of course, what this means, I bet you have some of those original voices that maybe won't be around to do it. Now, Pete Renaday might still be around. He's a very much an older guy. For those who don't know, Peter Renaday was Henry of the Country Bears. He's also the original Master Splinter. He's done a lot of different voices, even Adventures in Odyssey that I was talking about before. Peter Renaday, he's just a great, great, great actor, but he didn't mean to be an actor. He just kind of fell into it.
It happens.
Yeah. He was actually working at Disney doing something else. And I think I remember somebody actually got a chance to talk to him. One of the early things he did is... in the 60s, they were trying to do a preview. I don't know how much stuff you know, so I get to tell you fun stuff. But
yeah, I'm finding a whole bunch of new stuff
today. But there was a Haunted Mansion album that was put out before the ride was open. they wanted to build the mythos of the Haunted Mansion. So they have this really great kind of story record, a long playing one, with Ron Howard and I forgot the actress's name. And they're two teenagers out on a date that starts storming on them. And they go to seek shelter on the porch of this Haunted Mansion. But Peter Renaday was the original voice of the ghost host, which on the ride now you get Paul Frees, who's also a fantastic actor. And, you know, he's, if you look his name up, believe me, he's been everything. If you ever watched a Rankin Bass special, you heard Paul Frees as some character, probably two or three characters in the same special. He's that good. But like, well, for example, the Here Comes Santa Claus, well, that has Mickey Rooney as Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually both Burgermeister, Meister Burger. And he's also, I don't know, remember if they say his name, but his little henchman with the wheelverse. Yeah, it's that. Both of those are Paul Frees.
It's a very interesting name.
Yeah. He's cold, man. He's cold. Okay. I know. All right. These are the jokes. They're free, so you get what you pay for. All right. But yeah, so Paul Frees is the current ghost host on the ride, but Peter Renaday did it for the album. So, and I don't know if he can come in and re-record Henry's stuff. He's kind of old. I haven't heard him do anything in a while, and I'd love for him to come back. Now, but my question would be, is like, okay, well, that's kind of cool you're doing Disney favorites, but I've seen a lot of comments, not necessarily on the Disney pages where you have the Cult of Disney in there, that are just like, oh, how wonderful, and so, of course, they're going to go. But the more realists that are posting it in a fan group that I was looking at were saying, I can hear those Disney songs everywhere else in the park. Why do I need one more attraction that's going to sing those? That's a good point. I'm thinking, well, you know, you could mix it up because, and I see they're doing this only at Walt Disney World, which makes sense because Disneyland, they want the same experience all year round.
Yeah.
Walt Disney World is more of the tourist attraction one, where they want you to be able to come and see something maybe different. Although some things they want you to the right same thing year round. Like the Haunted Mansion doesn't get Neverland Christmas might be something we do this year. I don't know. But the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay doesn't happen at Walt Disney World, only at Disneyland, which that is up now. And you can watch videos on YouTube, by the way, if you want to watch, because I did watch because I wanted to see the new Gingerbread House. And they brought back a melting wax character that was part of Rolly Crump's ideas. So Emma was just like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just going to nod. So, yes. See, all the Disney knowledge is still in there. It still comes out. But so Walt Disney World is where they've mixed up the Country Bear Jamboree, and sometimes they'll do a vacation show, which I don't know if they still run that. But for a while, they changed up the show, did something different. But eventually, I think they did go back. But I think they might alternate. I don't know, depending on the season. But they also will do like a Christmas show as well. So they like to try to mix it up over there with the Country Bear Jamboree. So I could see them maybe this will be a show, and then maybe at certain times, maybe you could alternate like through the same day. Here's this typical show that you want, although people may be getting bored. It's the same songs, and if you go multiple times, like, yeah, I know what happens to that. You know, but the rides are the same ride regardless, but a show when it's the exact same show, I can understand. Maybe you feel like you want to change it up. So I think they could find maybe some different fun songs, not necessarily grab some Disney hits. You know, kind of like the Muppet Show. They would go digging around.
I loved the Muppet Show.
The Muppet Show was great. And I even found out, not because frequently they would find just fun, quirky old songs. Or even some new ones that were quirky and thought, these are fun, we should perform it. Occasionally, because there was one cute little poem we were watching. Who was the guest, Heather?
I don't know.
She don't know either. We were watching one, and it turned out it was this great, fun poem. And it was actually written by Jerry Jewell, who was like the main writer on the Muppet Show.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, wow. And it's a really clever, cute, fun poem. I was like, wow. So I did notice, like, occasionally he wrote some songs that they did on the Muppet Show, too, that were just fun. And to me, always, a lot of the voice of the songs of the Muppet Show come from, golly, I lost his name, too. He gets a cameo in the Muppet movie. He's there playing the piano. He was an old old rock star from back in the 60s. Paul Williams. Thank you, Heather. Yeah, Paul Williams. To me, he's like the singing voice of the Muppets, mainly because he wrote a lot of the songs for the movies back in the day, and he's super talented. But I've got to consider, hey, Jerry Jewell actually wrote some of those quirky songs you'd hear. But I'm thinking, you know, the Country Bear Jamboree has had all these funny, kind of quirky old country songs that they'd find somewhere that they were actually legit songs. And or they would bear up some songs, or they would write a few things. I think that if they have some creative talent, they should be able to write some new, fun, quirky songs, some new original songs.
I would love to see that.
That would be cool. Because I'm sure somebody around there still got to have some imagination. Golly, I hope so. It's Disney. You better have some imagination.
That's what Disney's for.
Yeah. Even though they haven't been proving it lately, I'm sure it's still there. So, yeah. But I, you know, use some imagination, come up with some more fun, comical songs. I think they can do it.
Speaking of Muppets, my sister recently has been calling me Kermie as a nickname.
Okay.
I don't know where it came from, but she started calling me Kermie, and I think it's really funny.
Sinister grin now on my face. So it's time for Emma to now learn. Okay, you know what the defining factor of the Lost Boys are?
No.
Nicknames. They all have nicknames.
Oh, they do.
Yes. But now, it says in the books, though, women don't become Lost Boys. Girls are too clever. They don't get lost. Mm-hmm. But we have lots of pixies, and we love our pixies, and we let pixies have nicknames, too. And guess what there, Kermie? Mm. You just selected your official pixie nickname.
Oh, man.
So now we will refer to you either as Emma or Pixie Kermie.
Pixie Kermie.
Yeah. Do you do a pretty good Kermit the Frog?
No, I wish.
Yeah. How did you get nicknamed Kermie?
I have no idea. No idea. She just started calling me one day. She's like, I'm going to call you that. I was like, okay.
Okay. Whatever. I'm Kermie.
I guess I'm Kermie now.
Now you are officially allowed to go, yay!
Yeah, she referred to me as that today when we were at the store and my mom was like talking to me and she turns around and she goes, no, her name's Kermie. And I was like, oh, my name is not Kermie, but okay. She's cute. She's a bundle of joy.
Well, see, it's good. You enjoy your younger sisters and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the fun.
Having an older brother is difficult, but.
Well, see, I was the youngest, so I mean. Yeah, having an older brother, I will say, was, yes, difficult. But
I'm the middle child, so.
Yeah. I'm 46 years old, and I'm talking about Muppets and toys and Disney. So, I mean, I don't know.
You're never too old.
Never too old. Walt Disney used to say that an adult is just a tall child.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
We can still learn to it. And that is how you keep young at heart, is you still enjoy stuff. You enjoy it as a kid. Now, the one thing I miss about, you know, I don't want Heather to feel bad. I don't mind that we don't have any children. It would have been fun, though, to have some kids to share some of these things with.
Oh,
and
yeah,
if you're a parent,
sure.
When we talk about these old stuff, I beseech you, share them with your kids. Your kids will probably love some of the stuff you loved as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, like Philip has his nephew Freddie, who just loves old movies and like mm-hmm. Back to the Future and stuff like that.
Ooh, Philip, I need to watch that.
You've never seen Back to the Future, huh?
I think I watched as a kid, but it's like one of those things where the memories kind of just seeps through.
Oh, see? See, that would actually be kind of a fun little episode as mm-hmm. You get a chance to watch some old stuff.
Yeah, because my mom used to watch it all the time.
See, there's a lot of old stuff. It'd be fun to have you watch and then come back and tell us what you thought of it.
Yeah, see? I should start doing that.
We can get the young person's opinion. What's the modern teenager think about some of this stuff?
Yeah, that's really smart.
Speaking of fun stuff, I wish I could show you that. Well, I could try to show you the picture, but you're not going to be able to see this very well when I try to do that.
That bends back really far.
Yeah, that's unfortunately it doesn't like do the flip and turn like another laptop. But so Gary Goddard, who's been a guest on the show before, he was the director of the Masters of the Universe movie from 1987.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Nope.
Okay.
Haven't heard of it
till
now.
That might be something fun. Although Heather can't stand it. And they made some mistakes. Maybe there some people who wrote the script probably should have maybe not sent them to Earth, but I think they wanted to ground it. Plus, it gave you a chance to have Courtney Cox and I forgot the guy's name who eventually ended up on a Star Trek series.
Courtney Cox is in from Scream?
From Friends, Scream, and yeah.
Oh, yeah. I grew up on Friends.
Okay, I was about to say, you're going straight to Scream. I'm like, that's telling. We know something about you now. From Scream, yes. Have you watched, like, the old Scream movies, or are you mainly the newer ones? Or?
I've watched a few. I have to find the rest, but okay. I want to watch the first one.
Yeah. See, I only ever watched the first one because it was making fun of that type of movie. Mm-hmm. But then now they've become what they made fun of by continuing to make sequels. I'm like, yeah, now you're just making scary movies. Because the first one is actually kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because they kind of make fun of the stuff. Which, because I'm not into slasher movies. If I watch a horror movie, I like suspense. Mm-hmm. And I love old stuff. I'm actually pretty excited. Although it's not really a horror movie. It's a mystery, but it's kind of scary. This a murder in Venice. Or no, a haunting in Venice is coming up. That's an Agatha Christie.
Mm-hmm.
Coming this weekend. I'm pretty excited about that.
Ooh.
Plus, I love the actor. Oh, wow.
You went blank again?
It happens. The older I get, the more I blank out. But, you know, he was in Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. You know, he was...
I love Harry Potter.
Gilderoy Lockhart. It was that
Ooh.
Actor.
Oh, him.
Yes.
I didn't like that character.
Well, you're not really supposed to, but he was so good at it. But he
was funny.
He's a great actor, great director. Mm-hmm. I've seen him play Henry V in an old movie, Henry V. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. But he is playing Hercule Poirot, one of Agatha Christie's detectives in this this new movie. So I saw him and I'm like, ooh. Plus he's got, oh, wow. What's her name? She was. I love her melee. Of course, first thing I saw her, she was a Bond girl in, I think, Tomorrow Never Dies. She was like this Chinese agent. She was pretty awesome. And then she was in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And she's most recently been in the, she was the star and got, I think finally got an Oscar for, I haven't seen it, the Everything All at Once movie. She was the lead in that.
Oh, yeah.
She's in this movie too. So I'm like, oh, there's at least two people I really enjoy.
She's a really good actress.
She's so cool. So
very
good. Oh. So they're both in this. So, but I like, I like suspenseful scary and not blood guts gore scary.
I go back and forth. I'm okay with horror sometimes. Yeah. Depends on my mood.
And what's weird about me is I will not go to a horror movie typically or anything, but yet I'll sit there and play Resident Evil and it's blood and stuff. But
I just got one of those games.
I do love those. So I'm weird, but I think what's the difference is I'm in control and I'm fighting the evil. And if you watch some other stuff, you can't do anything.
I like games like that, Resident Evil, The Last of Us, things like that. I love those games.
Where I can do something about it. I can fight back. I don't have to be the victim. I'm fighting the horrible nastiness.
Yeah.
The thing that's about Last of Us is so depressing because you see humans going so bad. It's like, I don't want to see the humans turn on each other. So it's like, that's depressing to me.
I love the story behind it. I think it's
interesting. That first one. I didn't play the second one because I found out what was going to happen. I was like, I can't do that.
I played both. I finished both games. Yeah.
I didn't want to watch what was going to happen and then have to play as the person that did it.
Oh, it sucked. It sucked having to watch that happen and then play. But
it's another era thing. I really, it was interesting because he's such a flawed character. Joel is just really, because you find out in that first game, he's kind of done some unsavory things, but you feel like he's having a bit of a redemption arc. Mm-hmm. But then by the end, you find out that still he's kind of selfish, but yet you understand him, why he makes the decision he does, because you played through the beginning and you cried at the beginning of that game.
Oh, yeah.
Because of what happened. You totally get it. So, you know, that's one of the reasons I did not watch that series, because I'm like, I've been through this. I will play the game again if I want to. I don't want to have to, you know, watch a series on it. But yeah.
I can talk about The Last of Us for hours.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was good.
Good game.
But anyways, what I was saying with Gary Goddard, we had to come back to it. He released this thing on this post on Facebook. Mm-hmm. He said, William Stout's costume design for She-Ra. She-Ra was going to be in that Masters of the Universe movie. And maybe if it had done a little better, maybe she could have gotten her own. Maybe we could have seen Hordak. Because at the end of the movie, if you watch to the end of the credits, Skeletor pops out of the water where he's fallen and says, I'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
So there was thought that, hey, this should be franchisable. After all, it was a popular toy line. It's a popular toy line again. Now, I don't think it's as popular with like the kids as it was with the adult collectors, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. And it was a television series was popular. Kevin Smith's series, I think some of the older fans, some of them have been hesitant. I've loved it. But it's something where, it's a little bit more, maybe a little bit more adult than maybe what you have kids watch. But there's a new version of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
I was just about to say, they're connected, right? She-Ra and He-Man.
Yeah. She-Ra is his sister. Although in the new She-Ra series, they took that away. They're separating her completely from He-Man as best they can. Which I think is unfortunate because it was such it made her story that much more interesting and tragic when you find out she was stolen from her parents and taken away to another planet by the Horde.
Terrible.
You had this great theatrical animated movie, which I didn't get to see in theaters, but they made a miniseries where Adam is told, you have a sister and you need to take this sword to her. Mm-hmm. She was chosen to be a champion as well, and she has no idea who she really is.
Oh, that's sad.
And so you have this great thing where when she finds out who she really is and she learns all that was stolen from her, and now she's become the champion of Etheria when she becomes She-Ra, and she's the most powerful woman in the universe. And like,
that is a really good storyline.
It's a great story, and they sacrifice it. So I did not watch the new one because they wanted to go a different route, but that. And I was like, you've lost the heart of what She-Ra fights for. And all her stuff was stolen, yet she chooses in the original series to stay on Etheria because she's going to fight for these people. Plus, she's fighting against the people that took her away from her family. But they give an opportunity where she gets to visit and get to see her parents again. And it's like, because they thought she was long dead. They had no idea what had happened to her. And they never told Adam, you had a twin sister. Because they were both babies.
Yeah.
So they just never realized. And the sorceress is the one that's like, by the way, I have a job for you. Because he's got the Sword of Power. Not Sword of Truth. That's a book series. But her sword is a specific
sword. It's been a really long time since I watched He-Man or She-Ra.
Yeah. And the old, her sword was cool back in the day because mm-hmm. she could turn it into a rope or a shield and like, oh, that's cool. He-Man can't do that, but that's okay.
Yeah, it was just one of those shows that would pop on. I'd be like, oh, interesting.
Yeah. But she could have almost been in the movie. And what's neat is if you follow him on Facebook, he puts some pages of the script of what was cut. The unfortunate thing is you were, it seemed in the Masters Universe movie, they didn't want to play necessarily in the superhero aspect where he's got this ridiculous amount of power.
Mm-hmm.
And they made him more, I think what might have been some of the intentions of the original toy line, because he was kind of like, when they couldn't get the rights to Conan and they thought, wait a minute, that's an R-rated movie. We can't sell toys of that.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, like, let's come up with our own guy. So, like, He-Man was Conan, but not Conan. So he's more of a barbarian. Mm-hmm. Although, in, like, the original mini comics that would come with the figures, he is given power, and that harness that he wears was supposed to enhance his strength.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in the movie, he feels more like he's just average, just strong, but not, you know, I can lift a mountain like he did in the cartoon strong. So mm-hmm. She-Ra is a bit more at that level, but you see her actually get taken prisoner fighting, trying to defend Grayskull, apparently, at the beginning. And she has one line, guard units, they are in the palace, evacuate and fall back to defense perimeter 7. So she's there fighting with some troopers defending mm-hmm. Grayskull. I'm like, that would have been so cool.
Yeah.
But they cut it. And that she only was going to have that one line and then get captured.
Oh.
It's like, but they could have been
That's
a big
such
build
a defeat.
Up. Because if they'd have gotten maybe a second movie, that could have given them the opportunity to bring in Hordak and let She-Ra pop in there and be awesome. Because actually, She-Ra's cartoon back in the 80s ran a little longer than He-Man's did. She caught on to be just as popular. That what was neat is, like, they made the toy line. They thought, well, girls mm-hmm. seem to kind of maybe like He-Man. Let's make something for the girls to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of did her more of a fashion doll. She had, like, real hair and a really weird bad headdress. But they made all the characters were all women, and they had hair that you could comb and stuff like that. And there was just a little bit of story. And her mini comics, they didn't really have it developed. When they wanted to make an animated series, they thought, well, you know, that Hordak character, we introduced that to Ari. Why don't we let her fight him?
Yeah.
You know, so they brought Hordak into the original series and you're able to build Hordak up. But she got just enough popularity from that cartoon, you know, because boys, we really liked it too. Although I was always kind of like, can we have a He-Man episode? Because a He-Man would easily pop up. And mm-hmm. they were so much fun when they teamed together, because you knew Hordak was really going to get mad. It's like, great, She-Ra's bad enough. Now I got He-Man and She-Ra. His day is ruined, you know. And occasionally,
the sibling duo.
Yeah. Well, the two of them together would be like, ha-ha, we're going to make complete fools out of Hordak. It's the other two of us. And they'd be like, before I go, I need a hug from my sister. You know, it's that kind of thing. And they were really sweet siblings. They were like that, had that great, you know, chemistry of like,
yeah,
because they had that twin magic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So getting a chance to know that She-Ra was going to be in that movie is like, because I love She-Ra too. I've got a couple of She-Ra toys. When they did they've made a series of figures from Super 7 where they made her look like the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
I had to buy that one.
Yeah.
Because the original She-Ra series is still ridiculous looking. And then I've also got the Masterverse version where they made a She-Ra mm-hmm. it's kind of like what you look like in an anime series, but a little bit enhanced, and it's a really cool looking figure.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I had to get that one too, because, you know, we love She-Ra too.
So I love She-Ra.
She-Ra was cool. All right, now, but that's all I really had for news. I haven't really dug up some stuff, you know. I didn't do my research this week. I'm sorry, folks. But I do have, we've already gone 47 minutes because I've been just battling away. That's what I do. But I've got to make sure I hit the right button. Intro, news, let's see, what is that one? That's the trailer park. We don't have anything for the trailer park, but I do have...
Yeah.
Want to see a movie?
Yeah, any good?
It was bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good, bad thing.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
I like it a lot.
The best movie ever made.
A Fandom Nexus movie review.
I'm kind of wondering how much recognition of some of those clips you had.
Maybe one or two.
Maybe one or two. Maybe. You probably know more. Well, maybe you don't. If there's some clips in there that you didn't recognize, so I'm gonna have you watch stuff, because you'll probably like it.
Oh, yeah, so, you're definitely going to have to get me to do research.
Although one of them, I think, was from Dumber and Dumber, and I need to watch it again. But the guy who directs and writes those, he does, like, gross-out humor stuff. I didn't really care for Dumb and Dumber so much.
I love humor movies.
Yeah, like, humor, but not gross.
Mm.
You know, vomiting is not funny, okay?
No.
It's just not funny.
It hurts.
Yes. So, and then there's also a clip from a movie I didn't, because I don't like Will Ferrell there. I said it. There's a clip from Talladega Nights that I just thought was, because I was looking for stuff that was from movies, and you notice how I sequenced it together to make it almost like it fits together, like a conversation.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. So, but my movie review, this isn't even a new movie. This is tied into what we're going to talk about here. Did you watch the live action Alita Battle Angel?
No, but I heard a lot about it when it came out.
Yeah, and I remember it coming out, and I don't think it did as well as they maybe had hoped in theaters. Mm-hmm. And I think what weirded people out is for some reason they decided that Alita needed to have anime manga eyes.
Oh, yeah, I saw a lot of stuff about that.
And it's like, that looks so weird. It's like, you know, I'm sure your actress would be just fine with her normal eyes. We didn't need to do the weird stuff. Because if you're going to do that to her, and you don't do it to anybody else, it makes her look weird. So, I was at the library a few weeks ago. I found, I think I was looking probably for the fairy tale books. Or I think I was just looking over there. I don't know. I don't think I grabbed any fairy tale books because they didn't have like the first ones and stuff. But I saw one of, like a hardcover of an Alita Battle Angel book. And I thought, okay, well, I'm curious what this was about anyway. So I went and started to read it. Now, the story was kind of like, well, this is kind of interesting. But I couldn't get into the artwork because it was a lot of motion lines all over the place so much to where because it's nothing but line drawings, I couldn't tell what was happening when an action stuff was happening.
Yeah.
And I'm used to like an American comics sometimes. Well, I don't think they do it as much anymore, but like especially in the 90s or in the 80s, Spider-Man would be thinking about what's going on, and he's making a plan while he's like, so you got an idea what's happening in the action. So, your dad's already coming back. It's like, have we been there going that long? Yeah, wow. I couldn't understand what was happening, so I was like, you know, I don't really want to read this, and I got some of the fairy tale books, and like, I really enjoyed the anime of fairy tale. And when I find one of them, I'm like, I want to go read the manga and see what's different, which is something we're going to mention later. So I was like, I want to read some of these just to see. But I thought, well, maybe if I watch the movie of Alita Battle Angel, let me see if I can find it somewhere. And yes, it's on Hulu, and so you can watch this.
Oh, I probably should.
Yeah, and it's not bad. I actually think some of the story, probably because they have less time to get more story in, I felt like the story was developed just a little bit more than what the manga had given me, and I got more in touch with the character, and I liked the character better as presented in the movie, and I understood more of her story, and so it was really good. Plus, the manga is super, super violent and gory. When something does happen, there's been head splatters, and so because this is a PG-13, you know, there's some implied violence, but you don't necessarily see, you know, as bad as it did in the manga.
Yeah, no, I saw the trailers for when it was coming out, and I was like,
Yeah, and good. I mean, it's kind of got that style, because one of the things that when they adapt to a live action movie, they want to get that slightly over the top anime style, but they want to ground it a little bit more for American palate. And plus, with live action people, if you get too ridiculous, it doesn't flow well. But it has that big action feel when stuff happens. So it was a lot of fun, and it really has some good character growth. The only complaint I have is, it didn't, you know, when we get to like what I call the final boss fight, because I'm a gamer, the big bad went down real quick, and then she pointed who her real enemy is, because she's learned who the real problem is, and basically at the end she's like, you're next. End of movie.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I've heard a sequel is in the works.
Really?
Yes. Which is why I was like, okay, so apparently it's done well enough, and they have hopes with it, and apparently the manga was pretty popular. So we have a chance of this.
I don't read a lot of manga. I just watch the anime.
Yeah. You might like some of the manga. You have to read the books backward. But
oh, yeah, I know that.
Because the main thing, though, is in Japan, the manga and the anime, they are not going to divert. Or unless they happen to, the anime gets ahead of the manga, because manga doesn't necessarily come out as frequent as it should, because you usually have one person who will do that entire story. But if they get ahead, they'll come up with their own stories. That's why you have two Full Metal Alchemist series, because you have one that they kind of diverged and did their own story entirely. And then when the manga finished its main run, they said, well, let's go back and we'll do a Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and we'll go back and we'll tell the story as the manga did it, because it was completely different. But most of the time, it's the same thing. And I've tried to find stuff in the manga. I was like, oh, hey, Heather, did they do this in the anime? She's like, yes. I was like, oh, I guess I didn't remember that. Okay. So I've been trying to find stuff that was different. There, I think that we found one little thing that maybe had a little difference. And what was fun, though, is some of the characters that they're off to the side, they give a little backstory on some of that in some of the manga. So it's worth reading. You get a little bit of extra character stuff that you don't get to see maybe in the main stories or on the anime. But for the most part in Japan, they'll keep it straightforward. But now, as I'm going to talk about One Piece. Now, have you watched the live action One Piece?
No, but I'm getting there. Oh, I've been super busy with school stuff.
And you've watched the anime though, of that, I think.
Me and my brother were actually talking about it the other day, and I was like, I'd love to, but there's so many episodes.
You gotta start somewhere, I guess.
Yeah.
I might start watching. I watched one episode of it. I know Heather really liked it.
It looks really good.
So, interesting thing is, and I've watched, and I probably should have rewatched, I've noticed now there's a trilogy of Full Metal Alchemist movies that Japan made.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard to put that entire story into, like, one movie, and you have to watch it. I think the first one I thought was subtitled, but they've dubbed, like, these other two. Maybe they dubbed the first one, I just don't remember. I feel like I need to watch it again, but I've noticed there's two other movies, so I'm going to watch those. But they really had to adapt a lot to try to fit it. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, when they adapt to an anime, they stick it straight forward. But I don't know if it's, like, when it going for American audiences, although I guess Japan made this. They make a lot of changes, and while we were watching this One Piece series, which here's my review on that, although I thought it was a movie, it's a series. There's 8 episodes available on Netflix. I've been binging. I haven't finished.
Is it good so far?
I love this. It is so much fun. The characters are fantastic. You'll love them all, which I think is part of the thing from the anime. Probably everybody loved it, because apparently this is a worldwide phenomenon.
I heard Emily Rudd's in it.
I don't know who that is.
She's from... I've seen her in one movie, and it was like a Stephen King movie.
That's probably why I didn't see it.
It's like a series.
Okay.
I loved her. She was really good.
I haven't watched much Stephen King. I'm not a huge fan of him, necessarily.
I don't read his books.
I listened to the audiobook of It because I was curious what the real deal was. But I think the only ones I've watched, I remember watching Firestarter when I was a kid, and I've seen the Tim Curry It.
I've seen it so many times.
And as me and even my cousin, because we're old, we're like, we got Tim Curry. We don't need the new guy. because Tim Curry. He's just great. So
that's a great last name, because it's a food.
I've never eaten that. I know this guy. Have you ever had curry?
I don't think I have.
See, one of these days, I'm going to have to try curry, because I keep hearing about it, because you listen to Harry Potter audiobooks or whatever. Because I've read some of them, but I listen to audiobooks, but they're always talking about curry. What is it? All right, if you're having to be British, could you please email us and tell us what curry is? Because I don't know where to get it. I could probably look up a recipe, and I'd probably mess it up real good. But anyways, sidetracking away. But yeah, so One Piece, I have not really recognized any actors in this. I don't know any of them, which is great because I can respond to them just as their character. But they're all likable characters. Even the villains are interesting. Now, Heather has mentioned this one character, Buggy. He's basically this clown pirate.
I've seen a lot of videos about him.
She says he's really annoying. And so I haven't found him to be annoying in this series, but he's really a nasty bad guy. But he's an enjoyable bad guy. He's interesting.
I love like the ones that are kind of cocky about what they do.
Right.
They're very good characters.
Yes, a good cocky villain. Especially
you want to not like them, but you're like,
Like even one character that popped up there. There's this dude. He's like, his name's almost like Dracula. So I thought maybe they're going a vampire theme with him. But he wears like this big cross. He's like a priest or something. But it's like Dracula Needhog, which I was like, Needhog, I like the game. Which is like a sword fighting game. If you've ever, I think it's free to play if you're on that thing. But he's got like this big sword, and he's supposed to be one of like these 7 pirate lords. And he's like, bad news when he shows up. He's like, he's just so interesting though. And he's like this cocky, but he has like this honor respect thing you kind of get, because he beats a character bad. I don't want to say and spoil anything. He wins the fight, but you can tell he spares him because there's respect. And he even tells him, come back later and try again. So it's like there's this respect, and there's like this honor among thieves pirate guy. It's like, I like him. He's a good villain, but he's like, he's not completely evil, but he's interesting, because you know he's definitely going to be an antagonist. He's definitely going to be a problem, but he just has that. But all the characters are just really, really great. Even the guy, the lead actor that got to play Yuffie, he's just so much fun.
Oh, he looks so sweet.
And he is,
I've seen so many videos and pictures of him.
Yuffie is a great character. I really love him. Because he's sweet. And he's got that naivety that he really doesn't have an idea what pirates really are. Because he thinks it's about just having adventures. It's like, no, you realize all the other pirates you come across are very bad people. He thinks, well, hey, we're going to help these people because that's what pirates do. Sorry, Yuffie, but you just keep believing that. Because that's what his idea of being a pirate is, but that makes him awesome. He just wants to help people, and he's going to be the king of the pirates because he's going to find the One Piece. And he's just optimistic, and I even noticed at one point that they're in kind of a bad way, and he still kind of has that smile underneath, like he's having fun, even though something bad's happened, and he's like, I'm having an adventure.
I will say that he very much reminds me of Natsu from Fairy Tail. the very like optimistic and very, I don't know what the word, like, they're very smart about what they do.
They're clever. They'll say dumb things, but then when it comes down to it, they get clever when they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they can always pull out that special move at the end that's from out of nowhere. When they're about to lose it, they come out with something like, where did he learn that?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, Natsu's kind of overpowered, but he's not overpowered until he needs to be at the last minute.
Oh, yeah.
Until then, he can get trashed. And Yuffie, I've noticed the same thing. He's getting whooped, but then he comes up with something clever, and it's gum, whatever, and he does something fun. Except for he's lost. Mm-hmm. I saw him flat out defeated, and that's why it's great. I love what his concept, his crew, is more like my friends, my crew.
Yeah.
You see it. You see his idea of piracy is very different the way you see other pirates treat their crew, where they're kind of scared of the captain. He's like, these are my friends. They're like, these are my crew. That kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed that. And now I don't know how similar this is to the anime. I kind of would like to watch some anime of it.
Mm-hmm.
I only watched like one episode of it and I just didn't get going. But I've really enjoyed this. I'm definitely recommending. But now Heather has frequently been talking during the show like, well, they changed that, and well, that's not the way that's supposed to be, you know. She's been saying stuff. I'm like, well, could you stop, because you're kind of accidentally spoiling what might happen for me.
I do that sometimes.
I was like, this is a new experience for me. Let me experience the story. We'll come and watch the anime later, and I'm sure we'll have fun watching that, and we'll watch that in Fairy Tail some more, you know. But
right, I need now, to rewatch watching Fairy Tail again.
I need to finish it. Yeah, I need to come back. I haven't watched it all week, and like
the concept of like them being a family is just so sweet.
Yeah,
to me.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that's what I love about Natsu, is you mess with one of his friends, that's when he gets super mad. Because
mm-hmm.
the other time he wants to fight it smart, like he wants to prove he's better than you. But then when you hurt his friends, now he's upset, and that's when he's going to destroy the entire building you're in.
Oh yeah,
he's the most destructive force.
He's going to level the building.
He's just so much fun. But that's what all the characters just have, that great noble quality. That's why I love all the characters in Fairy Tail. And that's what makes a good story on this. Is some other than having a good story, having good characters that you care about what happens to them in the story.
Mm-hmm. I also like that some animes, they make the main character to where it's like they're lovable and they're not dumb, but they have their moments.
Yeah. Flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Every great character has flaws. Are you listening,
no one's
Disney?
Perfect.
Yeah. I guess if you make a perfect character, then you bore people.
My mom likes to think she's perfect.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that's because she's a mom, and she's like, you...
Listen to your moms. Mm-hmm.
There you go. And I know your parents are awesome, because I've known them for a while anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we can grade them. Yeah. Not that, because, like, at least, you know, yes, your dad's over. I don't know if your mom was walked back in. But not because they're in the room, but they're awesome people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, so that's part of what makes that One Piece. I'm highly recommending it, and it's very different from the original adaptation. And we're going to talk about some adaptation with John Losch later here in just a minute, with Voltron and probably even some Speed Racer, because there was a movie of Speed Racer. Voltron!
Yeah. Love Voltron.
So that's coming up. But you'll have to wait to hear from Emma next week.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be back.
They've come together.
But I've got to move to a new section that I haven't even recorded yet. So.
Yep.
So stay tuned. I think, you know what? This is a good time for me to break to commercial.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so now comes the fun part where we're going to talk in our main feature today, and we're welcoming John Losh. Hey there, John.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
And we're going to talk, you know, because we're old. So being children of the 80s.
Yourself, brother. I'm never getting old. I told people once I hit 29, I'm not getting any older. You can't make me.
Well,
every birthday they say, how old are you? And I say 29 for the whatever time. And they go, no, really, how old are you? And I go 29 for the, if you want to know, do the math. I'm not telling you.
There you go. And I'm still just a big child anyway. You know, I am the pan, which means, you know, I never grow up. I just get taller and fatter. Although I've lost some weight, you know. So that's pretty good. The medications are working. So, but yeah, we're both. Well, I'm mainly. I know I'm a child of the 80s. You might be a bit more of a child of the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, yeah. I was born in 69. So, you know, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. So,
but it's still within the 80s, where in 1984 we got from World Events Productions Voltron, two versions of it.
Yep.
Which is, you know, it's interesting because you would have grown up in the era, and you even mentioned that you were around for Speed Racer, which I don't know that they were showing that much of it in the 80s. I think that was mainly in the 70s. But it's like anime hadn't fully crossed over, and it used to be really hard to get a hold of. I mean, people I used to know of in the 90s that were big into anime were having to bootleg VHS tapes from conventions and stuff. So,
maybe we can talk about Speed Racer next time. You know,
yeah. The only familiarity I have with Speed Racer is I saw the movie.
Okay, no, I watch the cartoons all the time.
My goodness.
Around the same time I was watching Voltron, so you know.
But what's kind of cool about this is you had, it's a bit of a fun stuff with Shared actually with me. So this was founded, the company, World Events Productions, was actually founded in 1980 by Ted Koppler, who was the son of a St. Louis businessman, and he was a KPLR TV founder, Harold Koppler. That was the father. Now, at least in 2016, I don't know if this is still there, but so my intern, Emma, her mother showed me a picture that somebody had sent her in St. Louis. They had like this statue of Voltron.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that. Yeah. Now, I don't know if it was a temporary, hey, cool, we did this thing, because it was like a full color kind of thing. So I was like, I don't know if it was put to be a permanent fixture. And I wonder if they kind of put it, you know, right outside this old TV station, because I guess it was the big TV station that started carrying it. Because Ted Koppler, I mean, he wanted to bring some anime in there. And the main thing is he worked with Toei Animation and grabbed like the Beast King Go Lion and Armored Fleet Dairuger. And I don't know if I'm saying this right, because Dairuger is a weird word. But he looked at both of these series, and instead of taking the story of those series, he made his own story by combining the two to give us the Voltron we knew. But of course, I think around here, I think the what was originally Go Lion it was the more popular version of Voltron with the five lions, because really the other one with all the vehicles, there were so many characters that, well, granted, I was a kid at the time, but even now, there was somewhere I found an episode of it, and I was like, I can't keep track of all these characters. There's just too many, because there was like with the Aqua Team, the Air Team, and the Car Team or Ground Team, and there was all kinds of toys, though, more money to be made, because you had a lot more little pieces to the vehicle Voltron, but yeah, the lions were a lot cooler in my opinion.
Well, and for those of you that don't know, the first series of Voltron featured the Lion Force Voltron that was adapted from what he mentioned earlier, the Beast series, Beast King Go Lion. Mm-hmm. The second series featured the Vehicle Team Voltron and was adapted from the unrelated series Armored Fleet Dairuger XV. And yeah, then
or 15,
and,
maybe, I don't know.
And then you had Voltron from 1984 to 85. You had Voltron, the Third Dimension from 1988 to 2000. Voltron Force from 2011 to 2012. Voltron Legendary Defender, 2006 to 2018. There was a TV special, Voltron Fleet of Doom in 1986. And then Voltron Defender of the Universe was a top-rated syndicated – was the top-rated syndicated children's show for 2 years during its original run. And it ended up with three follow-up series and plus the line of toys.
Yeah, and they keep trying to reboot it.
Yeah, and basically what it was this good group of space explorers mm-hmm. who were commissioned to fight evil by coming together with their different parts to form this giant robot called Voltron. And they would fight all these evil forces throughout the galaxy and stuff like that. Yeah. And
mainly the forces of Planet Doom, really. They would always try and invade Planet Eris. Sending Robeasts, these big giant monsters and everything. The one thing that always got me, and even when they started re-releasing these on DVD and I was watching it, it's like, you know what? I never really was bugged by it when I was a kid, but at the older, I was like, why are we bothering fighting the Robeasts in the lions? Why don't you just form Voltron, get that blazing sword out, and go to town?
Yeah, there you go.
They always had to build up to the finishing move.
but I tell you, with the research that I did, the thing that impressed me the most that I never knew back then that I know now, because once we talked about this just yesterday, I went in and started doing my homework here, was the fact that, you know, even though this was kind of, you know, something that a lot of people wouldn't remember from back then, you know, the show Voltron, mm-hmm. was that the people that played the characters had such impressive acting resumes. Mm. For example, Princess Allura and Minerva and Hagar was played by Betty Jean Ward, who was born in September 12th of 1944. She was an American actress and creator of the stand-up opera musical One-Woman Show. And she was on the original off-Broadway series production of the Fantastics. And then she started her voiceover career with Hanna-Barbera's Janna of the Jungle in 1978. Oh, wow. She was Scarlet on G.I. Joe.
Oh, cool.
Dina Strong on RoboForce. RoboForce Revenge of Nazgar. She was Betty Ross in The Incredibles. And then she was Pinky and Punkin on the Pink Panther and Sons.
Hmm.
And she was Betty Rubble in several various Flintstones productions. And then she was the Velma on several different Scooby-Doo movies.
My goodness.
Okay. And then you had, let's see, we've got Commander Yurak and Emperor Zarkon was Jack Angel, born October 24th, 1930, and he lived until October 18th, 1921. He was an American voice actor and radio personality that provided voiceovers for animation and video games for Hasbro, Hanna-Barbera, the Super Friends, the Transformers, G.I. Joe, and was involved in numerous productions on Disney and Pixar. And before his voiceover work, he was a radio DJ for stations KMBC and KFI. And the day of his death, a lost piece of 1980s paraphernalia that contained his voice as the lead role, being U.S. dub of the animated series Tugs, was discovered. That was a British TV series produced by Tugs Limited for Television South and Clearwater Productions Limited. And it was created by Robert D. Cardona and David Mitten, who previously produced the first two series of Thomas the Tank Engine and Friends, and that the Tugs was set in the Roaring Twenties, and it features the adventures of two anamorphized tugboats, tugboat fleets, and the Starfleet and the Z-Stax, who compete against each other in the fictional big city of the biggest harbor in the world, and it was narrated by Patrick Allen, who does the voices of nine other people. Savon, Shiro, and Lance was Michael Bell, born 7/30 of 1938, was an American actor most active in voiceover roles, video games, and animated series. The Legacy of Kane, The Transformers, G.I.
Duke
Joe,
himself.
The Real American Hero. Wow. Yeah, the Hound Cats, Rugrats, The Smurfs, The Incredible Hulk, and The Snorks, and he actually appeared in the TV series Dallas and Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek Next Generation. He's in the premiere episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his wife, Victoria, and daughter, Ashley, are both actors. King Alfor, Corrin, or King Alfor and Corrin was Peter Cullen, born 7/28/1941, was a Canadian voice actor notable for voicing Optimus Prime in the original 1980s Transformers series, and later voiced him in the live-action Transformers movie in 2007. He was Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. My sister-in-law is an Eeyore collector, so yeah. She loved that. And then he was a Monterey Jack in Chippendale's Rescue Rangers, Carr in the Knight Rider series.
Yeah.
And he was the voice of the Predator. And then you had Hunk and Prince Lotar was as Lenny Weinrib, was born 4/29/35 and lived until June 28th of 06. American actor and comedian, writer, best known for playing the role title role in the children's TV series H.R. Puffin Stuff. And he also made an appearance as that character in an episode of one of my favorite classic cop shows, Chips.
Huh.
He was Grimace in the McDonaldland commercials.
Oh, yeah.
He had the title role in Inch High Private Eye.
Yep.
He was Scrappy Doo on Scrappy Doo or Scooby Doo and Scrappy Doo. He was Big Mouth on the Smurfs, and he was the voice of Time for Timer on the ABC public service announcements in the 1970s. You had Queen Merla, which was Tresh McNeil. She's an American voice actress whose credits include Dot Warner on the animated series Animaniacs.
I think that's what we know her best for.
She was Babs Bunny on Tiny Toon Adventures, Chip and Gadget Hack Wrench on Chippendale Rescue Rangers, Daisy Duck in various Disney media, since 1999. She was on The Simpsons, Futurama, Disenchantment, Rugrats, and Hey Arnold. So, yeah.
You got a heck of a cast here.
Yeah, I mean, when I started looking that up, I'm like, wow, this isn't just a cool memory from my childhood, but these people had quite the entertainment resume.
And some of them are legendary, like Jack Angel is legendary, Michael Bell is legendary, Peter Cullen is legendary, Tress McNeil is legendary. I mean, goodness sakes.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I wouldn't have known those back then because I didn't, we didn't have the internet back then.
Right.
And so you couldn't just go look up the show or Wikipedia like we've done here. And everything. But, so then when I started looking up, I was like, whoa, how cool is this? So you have this legendary huge robot that's out there fighting for good and keeping the peace, made up of a bunch of people who had these amazing, resumes that we knew from so many different animated productions over the years,
One of the things that's wild to me. As I don't recall in the American, because our theme here has been Americanizing Japanese manga and anime. And so this was one of the most Americanized productions ever, because you even took two shows and blended them. But I don't think in Voltron they ever explained how the five lions were separated. But if you watch the first episode of Go Lion, which I did, it's on Crunchyroll for anyone who has it. You'll have to watch it subtitled, though. The names are different. Everything is different about it. But it explains how this mighty robot decided to fight. He was beating all these different other opponents. And he got so proud and vain that he took on some sort of space goddess who decides, nope, you've gotten too full of yourself. I'm splitting you into five lions.
Right.
And so there was this whole buildup. So there became this, legend of where, you don't know who built the machine, but he was completely sentient on his own and all this other stuff. And then when we get Voltron, we really don't get that there was like this ever sentient Voltron. It's all the control of these five, in the Voltron version, there's super force of space explorers sent by the Alliance to bring back Voltron. So which was their connection to the other series, which you had this big Galaxy Alliance, which was trying so hard to be Star Trek, I swear. Because they had the uniforms and so I think they were trying to appeal to the Star Trek audience with those people, and then using that premise of having a Galactic Alliance that was your main thing for the vehicle Voltron, but connecting these five characters like they're supposed to be members of it, although you will never see these five characters in a Galactic Alliance uniform, but they say in the intro that they're supposed to be part of it. And you even get a little bit in the intro, you get to see like the council where they sit down, they're making decisions. We're going to send five people to go bring back Voltron because Planet Eris is in trouble from Planet Doom is attacking them.
Well, and there were certain times that you didn't see them actually come together to form Voltron as one piece. I was just watching an episode on YouTube yesterday where Commander Urich was coming with his force to try to destroy planet Arius. Mm. And they had all the five lions, you know, sitting on these like ledges and things like that of planet Arius. And they were actually attacking Urich and his forces separately, either sitting there firing their lasers at him or actually flying up and hitting some of Urich's ships and stuff like that separately, you know? And so, you know, that's, you know, I don't know if when I was a kid, you know, I'd have to go back and watch a lot more episodes. Because I think the one I watched yesterday is the first one I've watched for a long time.
Yeah.
But I'd have to go back and watch and see how many, you know, if I saw more episodes on there. And I meant to look and see how many episodes are actually available out there on YouTube. I forgot to look that up. But, you know, I'd have to go back and watch more to see if there were more times where they showed them doing separate things.
I think it is available for purchase at this point.
Right.
I know at one point they had the entire series available on DVD, but I only had enough money to purchase He-Man and the Masters of the Universe in complete on DVD because they had a box set of that, Voltron and She-Ra, and I think some other ones. And I was like, okay, I've got a little bit of money put together that I can get one of these, and I had to go with He-Man. So
right. Is that one you covered on the podcast yet? Or
Well, you know, I might be something I revisit sometime, but we have some He-Man stuff almost all the time. We even earlier, we were discussing the plans that She-Ra had been in the plans and in the script for the 1987 Masters of the Universe movie, because Gary Goddard released it on Facebook. Drawings of how she would have looked and a little bit of it in the script that was there. So, you know, if that movie had done better, who knows? We might have gotten a She-Ra spinoff in a movie. Could have happened.
Right.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get one now, but we'll never get that Master Universe movie as they keep talking about. It's never going to happen.
There's
been talk of a Voltron movie, you know, one of these days that they want to reboot it and see if they can make that as a film. I think it would be awesome if they could get that to work.
Right.
I have not heard that really getting much steam other than the ideas there. It's probably got as much steam as they have of trying to bring the Silverhawks back, which I think they're only going to be around for those new toys, which are amazing. So it's really hard. Some of these properties, they, you know, I think Voltron has a better chance of them trying to bring it back and trying to make a film of it. I'm so stuck on the original series that when they brought it back, the latest Netflix series, which did catch on with kids, they really enjoyed it. There was kind of a redesign to the lions, and they kind of changed some of the characters around to where I was like, oh, this isn't my show, so I'll let the kids enjoy this, and I'll just enjoy the old one. But the kids really liked it, so I'm like, well, good. So they managed to bring Voltron back, and the toys were kind of cool on that one. Which, speaking of the toys, I actually remember when I was a kid, I'd had a dream that there was that I was playing with Voltron toys. Now, at this point, I had not seen a single ad for Voltron toys, but I'd had this dream of like, oh, and I woke up thinking, that'd be really cool if we had some toys of that. And then, of course, you know, watching Voltron before I went to school, there was the ad for the toys. I'm like, there are toys now, but I never got a single one of them myself.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I did have one. They had these, I guess they were made of like a rubber kind of material. But I had a Voltron toy that you could kind of separate it, but he wasn't really flexible. So it had like the lions, and the head even came off for some weird reason. But, you know, of course, the black lion, if you pulled the arms and legs off, was nothing but the stubs to attach the other one. So it wasn't really a well-thought-out full toy, and it wasn't a lot of detail. But I loved it because it was a lion Voltron. But not that long after we got those for Christmas, my brother had gotten the vehicle version. I got the lion version. My brother decided he needed to show that mine could fly, and he threw it and landed it on the roof of the house, and I never got it back.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry.
I've held that for years. That is like, no, my only Voltron toy, and he threw it on the roof where I never got it back again.
And his heart is still mourning.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Even though my brother has recently passed away and we had the funeral last week, he still never replaced my full truck.
Yeah, and I'm so sorry for your loss as well. And the funny part about it is your sister had just shown me pictures of him like a week or so prior to his passing and said she was telling the other members of the family they needed to go see him because she didn't think he had long. And next thing you know, I'm seeing a post that her brother passed away, and I'm like, oh, wow, that was quick.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah,
Voltron, definitely a lot of great old memories of the 80s attached with that series. And it's been fun as an adult being able to come back and watch some of the episodes. I do have at least one DVD set that was like the first first part of the first thing, because they made like, what, five original sets when they first started bringing it to DVD, and they had one base for each lion. And I think they had, because there was like a total of like, I think 124 total episodes of the original run. And I think each one had somewhere around like 30 episodes to where, you know, by the time they got the five, they managed to get all of the episodes. And I didn't manage to get all of them. But sitting and watching it, that's where I think I started having those thoughts like, you know, they could seem to save a lot of time if they just like, look, Aerobeast. OK, let's form Voltron, get that blazing sword out and go to town. But they would always go and try to fight with the lions, get trounced around for a bit, but then decide, OK, that's it. Now we're mad. Let's go and form Voltron.
There you go.
It's like, why didn't you know, do that?
They had to lead up to it because I think the episode would be over too quickly.
Yeah, it'd have been a 10-minute episode.
The bad guys right away, you know.
And it always made it interesting when they would actually sometimes get into fights when they're not in the lion, and they'd have to run and they'd have to go into somewhere in just their uniforms and their blaster pistols, and have to go and deal with something. It's like, oh, now this is different because now they felt more vulnerable, of course, outside of their lions. Like, oh, hey, now you're actually in some real danger because now you could get shot or something. And, you know, so I always found those episodes interesting.
The episode I was watching yesterday, and it was called Zurek Gets His Pink Slip. And so he comes to try to defeat Planet Arius. The separate lions are you know, separated, and they're attacking, you know, Yorick's ships and stuff separately and all this. And like you said, they got tossed around a little bit and stuff like that. But, you know, they basically, you know, Zarek ended up returning to his planet with his tail between his legs and had to go appeal to his superiors that, you know, he had failed. And they're basically like, you know, Zarek, you're a worthless loser, you know, and we shouldn't even give you any more chances and stuff like that. I was on my lunch break doing that. And I couldn't watch the whole thing, and I haven't had a chance to go back and watch the rest of it. But I assume he came back later, you know. And they probably then came together to form Voltron and, you know, defeated him together. Yeah. You know, I would assume that that's where it would have gone. So
now, was Zurek the guy that he had like this weird eye patch thing or something that was from Planet Doom? Was that who Zurek was?
I think maybe you're thinking of, I don't know if Emperor Zarkon had
Zarkon didn't have an eye patch. You know, he was King Zarkon. Well, he had the crown, but he had a guy working for him other than Prince Lotor that he was like this. He was almost cat-like in his with, because they all had the pointed ears, but he had like the white hair, had cat-like ears, but he had like a thing over like at least one of his eyes, like this weird metallic tech, some sort of tech on one of his eyes, and I never caught what his name
was. Yeah, I don't remember seeing that on this guy, so I don't know if that's Urek or not.
I feel like I want to look him up. But there were some memorable characters. You got Hagar, of course, was like, you know, the original nasty witch that I swear She-Ra borrowed. What, Shadow Weaver always reminded of Hagar. Seemed like it's the same character a little bit. Right. So yeah, Hagar was always just because like this horrible nasty witch. And, the voice was great, and she's my Aerobeast is like the greatest ever. Now this one will surely defeat Voltron. Oh, just the characters were great in this show, and you even had like Prince Lotor who had like this thing for the princess, and he's like, ah, I will spare your planet if you will marry me. Ha ha! And he thought he was going to win the whole war that way.
Right.
There was just some great aspects. And you know what? The fun part about this also, I have a cat named Allura based off this princess.
Oh, really?
We have at least two princesses. We have an Adora and we have an Allura right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which goes, Allura we ended up having because I was trying to name her after She-Ra and I goofed up and called her after Princess Allura. I was trying to keep with the theme. Our first cat was named Eternia. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to keep this Masters Universe theme. And, okay, well, it's another female. Well, let's go with another princess name, and we'll call her, whoops, I meant to say Adora, but I said Allura, and it stuck. So now we've got the newer cat. The newer cat said, okay, well, this one's Adora then.
So, right.
I'm naming my cats after old cartoons because I can.
There you go.
And I told my wife loves Great Danes. I said, if we get a Great Dane, that temptation to name him Scooby is huge. It's huge. It's, you know, even if she decides to call him Duke, I'm going to like, all right, Scooby, we know who you really are.
Wow. Yeah.
You want a Scooby snack? A Scooby snack Duke? Sure you do.
Well, it's like we used to have a beagle and her name was Lucy, but you know, I wanted to call her Flash.
Yeah, because
Of course, you know, for you know, since I, you know, I was always famous for my impression of the sheriff on the Dukes of Hazzard. I'm sure for school beagle drink. Good I'm gonna knock you in the middle of next week, you know. So, you know, we had a beagle, and I wanted to name it Flash, and I still every once in a while when I was petting her, I'd be like, oh, velvet ears, Clutchins.
Yeah. Oh, but for a good Flash, so you gotta get a basset hound though. Like, didn't he have a basset hound?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Flash is a basset hound. I'm sorry. We had a beagle.
Yeah. Well, I get a beagle, I'm calling it Snoopy.
Oh, okay.
Totally. There you go.
Yeah, my wife is a Snoopy collector, actually, because our son, for about 4 years before he went off to college at the University of Missouri, played the Snoopy character at Camp Snoopy out at Worlds of Fun.
Nice.
And now, because of her thing of collecting Snoopies, he's always like, I'm not Snoopy anymore. My wife's like, too bad. A term of endearment type thing.
There you go.
You know, it's one of the ways we remember you is playing Snoopy all those years. So, you know, she collects Snoopy stuff, you know.
Well, I guess then as far as your wife's concerned, I'm Papa Berenstain, because that's who I was at Worlds of Fun.
Oh, okay.
Before Camp Snoopy came and took it over and the Berenstain Bears were there, I was Papa Bear. I think it was the first year they had done it, too. Long time ago. And it was a fun job, but oh, my goodness, you die in that suit. Oh.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
But it was fun because you got to tease the adults and play with all the kids, and we'd pretend to fish in the fountain and all this kind of stuff. It was fun. You know, me and the kids would have a good old time. You know, you got to play games. You got to be a big, giant kid because you're Papa Bear. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But we probably better wrap this up because otherwise this is going to be a super, super long show, and I've got to get to my show notes to make sure I get all the fun stuff covered. But, of course, we invite you to visit.
Let me know when you want to come back together, and we'll talk some Speed Racer.
Yeah, I know nothing of Speed Racer, so you'd have to show me some links so I can at least watch an episode.
I can send you some of those.
Yeah, so make sure you go to neverlandpodcast.com, and as I mentioned earlier in the show. Oh, and before I forget, I also earlier in the show said that the character in One Piece was Dracul Needhog. My wife corrected me; it's Dracul Mihawk. I was thinking Needhog because Needhog is a sword fighting game that's kind of an indie game that you can get on PlayStation. I thought, oh, well, the guy has a big sword. That's funny. But it's Mihawk. But anyway, right in the center of the screen, you will find your link for my podcast reviews. If you happen to have a podcast and you'd like to see your reviews from around the world, click on that link. I get a little bit of kickback when you sign up for there. And of course, we want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wildheit of the Wildheit and Wall Show for helping me out with the intro. Don't forget, you can email us podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. You can come follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Oh, wow, I'm running out of time on Zoom. Who knew? Zoom is limiting me. All right, so Facebook, we have both a group and a fan page. You'll get more interaction on the group. Come and join us. Also, don't forget, you can join the Neverlanders. Become an official Neverlander or Lost Boy or Pixie. And why do we have Pixies? As I was telling Emma, girls are too clever. They don't get lost. Also, don't forget, we do have a Patreon. You'll find that link right on the website. Come and donate on different tiers, and you can get the episodes without those ads. Plus, visit our shop. We have lots of fun t-shirt things and, you know, lots of fun designs you can buy and a lot of different stuff. And I need to get them all to my other designs that I have ready. I just need to upload them and get them going. But yes, that's everything. And now this is where I get to weird John out because he might not be familiar with the way we end the show. So get lost. In an adventure. See, he didn't know that was coming.
No, I didn't.
Right, well, and thanks for coming on the show. Oh, real quick though, where can people find you? Because are you still doing your show? Yeah, you are, because you keep sending me messages.
If you check out my podcast, it's Men in the Potter's Hands. It's on Spotify for podcasters. It's now also available on Spreaker. And Jeremiah is working now to get it completely on demand on EternityReadyRadio.com. And that's where I want to start eventually promoting. Somebody told me today that I needed to have more help with promoting it, that I should also make it available on Apple Podcasts. So I may look into that as well. But yeah, Men in the Potter's Hands on Spotify for podcasters. And like I said, then check out the EternityReadyRadio.com. Scroll down until you see podcasts, and it'll be on there. So
I need to see if Jeremiah is actually still carrying my show in there, because we were a long time ago. Oh, pardon me. So I need to see if I'm still there. I don't know, because I think he's had everything he needs to where he could just upload the episodes, because I stopped making the new Solid Rock shows because that show got canceled up in Kearney. So I quit making that show during COVID. And so I'm still making this show, and he's got everything he needs to just upload and put it in where he needs to. I'm not sure if he's still doing it or not. I haven't looked. But all right, so now I don't have a way to sign off because I already told everybody to get lost in an adventure.
Yeah. Well, let's just say, you know, since we're both brothers in Christ, you know, hopefully you're following the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior every day. And if you're not, we invite you to receive him by faith today. He's just a prayer away. And he wants a relationship. He created you, wants a relationship with you. So seek him. And we love you. Jesus loves you. If we don't see you here, we'll see you in the air.
And if you have any questions about that and you'd like, you know, you don't understand maybe some of the gospel, feel free to email me, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. I'd love to talk with you. Also on the Facebook group, Feel free. All right, and we'll wrap it up there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.